Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. We're here today with Lillian Barber, and she is the founder of La Scala Italian Greyhounds. Is that correct, Lillian?
That's right. That's my kennel name.
Excellent. And how is it you came to dogs? It was in 1966, I think I saw that you bought your first IG.
That's right. Well, I wanted a dog my whole life. Briefly, my parents and I left Nazi Germany just ahead of the Holocaust, and I'm sure people will know what that means. We had, you know, what we were wearing and what we could carry. I was 8 at the time, and I wanted a dog my whole life, but because of the way we had to live trying to start out in the United States, it just wasn't possible. So it was in the 1960s, after I got married and we had a place of our own, etc., that I finally was able to get a dog of my own. I had no intention of being a breeder or exhibitor or whatever, but I went to a dog show to see some dogs, and that's about the way it started out. I wanted Dalmatian. That was what I wanted originally. I like big dogs, but we lived in this place in San Francisco, my husband and I, with a backyard the size of most people's bathroom. And he said, you can't have a dog that big. You've got to have a little one. And I never thought about a toy breed, but we went to a dog show and I saw my first Italian Greyhound, and that was it. I had to have one.
They are so elegant. Absolutely.
Well, they fit right in with, I'm an opera lover, and my La Scala kennel name, of course, is named after La Scala Opera House in Milan, Italy. And things went from there. I started showing. Second time we showed my first IG, she got a point, and that did it.
Yep. You were hooked, right?
Yeah, I was hooked, line and sinker.
And so tell me about the development. Your website is beautiful, and we'll include a link to it if it's all right in our show notes. And
that's fine.
A beautiful layout of your breeding program and how you've worked with those dogs. Talk a little bit about what you see as the ideal Italian Greyhound and what you started with and what you've done to come closer to that ideal over your breeding program in some 50-odd years.
Well, it wasn't easy because 50 years ago, most Italian Greyhounds were the old style. They didn't, you know, they looked like they might be part Chihuahua. They weren't as elegant as they are now. But if bred correctly, which a lot of people have learned how to do, they've come to what they are now. They're a very elegant dog. And today's Italian Greyhounds don't have the fragile bones that when we first got into this. I mean, I didn't know about that when we got into the breed, but probably one out of three IGs in those days broke a leg at one time or another.
Yes.
And that's not so bad anymore. You still have to be careful with them. It's not a breed for a family with rough kids. They jump and they can't fall or be dropped and be okay, if you know what I mean.
Right, right. So generally speaking, when you're placing Italian Greyhounds, you're looking for homes without small children, correct?
I like to meet the whole family. First of all, I don't breed that much. If I breed one litter a year, that's about it. And we slowed down. My husband and I are in our 80s now and just chasing after a litter of IG puppies. It's still, I enjoy it. I really do. I swore I would never be without at least one. But what I do is when somebody wants a puppy, I need to meet the whole family because some kids are wonderful, some are not. And usually the kids are wild and crazy because the parents don't have any control over them. And that's the kind of family I would never sell a puppy to.
Right, right. And so talk to me a little bit, and we had Wendy Paquette earlier in the episodes talking about breeding toy breeds. And to me, someone coming from sporting dogs, you know, bigger dogs, the idea of whelping and raising puppies that are 4 ounces and 3 ounces is just sort of mind-boggling. So I always want to talk about that.
Well, it's just this morning, somebody that actually a ticket agent from an airline that noticed a friend of mine and I had dogs with us when we were checking in coming back from a national a few years ago. He has rescue greyhounds, a big greyhound, and he just sent me pictures this morning of greyhound puppies that he saw recently, and just the difference is unbelievable. To me, it would be a lot harder to handle a litter of big puppies because you can handle IG puppies very easily.
So what is your system? Do you have an incubator? Do you keep them separate? Some of the toy dog people I know have the mom and the puppies and they're never together. How do you handle that?
Okay, well, first of all, our dogs are always raised in the house. We're fortunate to have a family room as well as a living room, and the family room is sort of a dog room. We have a Rover pen, you know, one of those, they're plastic, and they don't look as bad as a metal pen in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the puppies are in that Rover pen, except when we can pay full attention to them, and then they have the run of the family room, and they very gently learn how to get up on furniture, and we don't let them jump off it until they're developed enough to safely do it. But my husband and I are both retired, so we can spend a lot of time with puppies. It was a lot harder when we were both working because then you do have to keep them safely but still let them have enough room so they can get some exercise. And a pen is much better than putting them in a crate.
Right, right.
But it's just, you know, I've been doing it so long that it's pretty natural for me. If we have a litter, there's a certain routine we follow. And if we both need to go out, we put them in the Rover pen and close it and they're safe.
Sure. And so what is your routine? Starting with, do they free whelp? I assume IGs will free whelp pretty easily.
Most of them do. My latest experience, you know, I tend to panic, even have panic attacks about other things, not necessarily dogs. But I get, like, if a bitch is in labor for 2 hours and nothing has happened, I get a little scared, especially if it's in the middle of the night, which it usually is. And this last litter we had, that was a year ago, she went into labor at midnight. And by 2 in the morning, nothing had happened. And I thought, well, I think maybe I better go to the emergency clinic. So I took her to the emergency, and they were really nice about it. They examined her, and they said that it looked okay, but if I wanted to stay in their waiting room, and they would check on me every 15 minutes, which is what happened. She had the puppies normally. It was just me that panicked. I have had, over the years, a couple of C-sections where there's a big puppy that's born in a bad position, and that probably would have been okay, but sometimes it's better to be safe than sorry.
Right. Get that puppy out of the way.
Yeah, and these guys have small litters, and I can say this without bragging, I have never lost a puppy because I waited too long to go to the vet.
Right. So your average litter size is what, 3?
0 to 4. Sometimes we miss. I don't know what the situation is. Sometimes we get decent breeding. We do 2 or 3 breedings and everything seems fine, but the girl doesn't get pregnant. It doesn't happen that often, but I'm talking about maybe twice in the last 50 years. But they're pretty easy whelpers. They don't have oversized heads, and they just, for the most part, will have a litter normally. But to me, if I were going to make a suggestion to somebody that's new at it, it's better to run off to the vet when you don't need to than to not go when you should have.
Yep, absolutely. Err on the side of caution. And so do they thrive? Is this a breed that thrives, you know, or do they kind of...
Yeah, they're really easy to raise. I had no experience. My husband is a New York City boy, and I didn't have any kind of animal background in my life. So we're total novices at it when we started out, and we have never lost a puppy.
Wow. And did you have good mentors? Did you have people who worked with you, your original breeder? How did you learn? Was that a trial and error sort of basis? Or?
Much of it was, because there really wasn't much to read about. I actually, well, I'm not bragging, but I wrote 4 books about the breed. They're all out of print now. You can still get on eBay. But It was trial and error, and I had a wonderful vet. As soon as we moved to where we are now in Murrieta, California, I had a wonderful vet who unfortunately moved to South Dakota, and I can't go see him anymore.
Hate it when that happens.
Yeah, well, he had to take care of his aging parents, so he just moved his family back there, and I still miss him. I haven't found anyone I like as well, and of course, I think you probably have heard this before. Vets are horribly expensive now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that relationship with your veterinarian that is someone who respects breeders and is willing to help teach you. I know the veterinarian we had when I was a kid that sort of was one of my mom's major mentors was like that, and they are invaluable.
Well, Marilyn was absolutely wonderful, and this was before they had all the emergency clinics that you had to go to after hours. He would actually tell me, well, he would know, of course, if we had a pregnant bitch, and he would tell me, if she goes into labor at night after we close, don't be afraid to call me. And he gave me his home number. Well, that doesn't happen.
Not very often, no. Not very often.
I didn't make use of it very much. I think I called him twice over a period of maybe 10 years when I thought I was in trouble, and he would say, just come on down to the office and I'll meet you there. And then the girl would go ahead and have her litter normally, and I'd feel very embarrassed to have gotten him to come in for me.
But again, safe is better than sorry. So when you're breeding and in your breeding program over the last 50 years, you talk about a couple major lines that you worked with. Did you just basically stay in those lines? Did you try a lot of outcrosses? How did you develop the breeding program that you have from where you started to where you are today?
Well, when I started out, I had more broken legs than I cared to mention, and I knew there was something there that was wrong, so I switched and went into another line at that point, and sure enough, the broken legs we've had since then have been really accidents where you know what caused it, and they didn't break because they had poor bone density. But I actually went into two different lines during the 50 years that I've been doing this, and now I'm pretty much check pedigrees, and there's so much you can find out now from DNA that studying pedigrees on paper, it's not the same thing anymore. You can find out which lines have certain things wrong with them, and you just autoimmune problems, and if you have it in your line, you just have to be really careful not to double up on it.
Right, so doing that research so that you know what you've got versus what you don't want to add to that.
Yeah, and you don't want to double up on it. There's some things you can't avoid completely. If you have a line that produces really nice, mostly healthy specimens, you don't want to drop it and go somewhere else completely. You just don't want to double up. Whatever you know is already wrong in your line, you don't want to double up on it.
Right. Knowing your own skeletons in your closet is useful for sure.
Hey, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And so what is the essence, the hallmark of the Italian Greyhound breed in your mind?
Elegance. I mean, you have to remember, this is an elegant breed. We have a lot of people now that are big into lure coursing and into a very athletic type of thing, because the breed is athletic, and they don't care that much about appearance. So you have to be kind of, you look at what you're breeding to, and if you have a fairly good line, I'm going to brag a little bit here. I'm probably about 100 champions from my line over the last 50 years. Not all of them that I owned and showed, but I'm not the world's greatest handler. I have a reputation for being clumsy, let's put it that way.
And so did you always own or handle your own dogs?
When I started out, I was afraid to, and I had a friend who showed my dogs for me. Well, I didn't realize I was paying all her show expenses, and she showed my dogs for me, and nobody ever talked to me. They thought they were her dogs, and they would ask her about them, and I'd be standing there with my hands in my pockets, and who am I? What am I doing here? So I finally decided at some point about maybe 30 years ago, I am going to show my own dogs. And I did. And I've been doing it ever since. Well, at that ended too. My knees are so bad now, I can't do it anymore. And I'm actually looking for a handler.
Well, I have to give you a lot of credit. Still actively showing and breeding your dogs at this point in your lives. I love that. I think that's wonderful.
I have one that needs 7 to get her grand championship, and I've done everything with her myself, and I want to try to get her last 7 points myself, but at this point, I'm not sure that I can do it, but I'm going to try.
That's good. I think that's a very good thing. And so talk a little bit too, we were talking off air a little bit before, when you started, when my family started in dogs, the only way that anybody ever communicated was you made a long distance phone call that cost $1 million or you wrote a letter. And now we have the internet. So let's talk a little bit about the benefits of faster communication. How's that?
Well, the whole world is moving faster now, and I'm not the best person to ask about that. I'll be 86 in August, and some of the technology has gotten way past me. But it is a lot easier to communicate. I can send an email to a friend I have a lot of friends in Michigan, for instance, because we used to have our national specialties back that way. And I can send an email and get a response within a few minutes, which used to be impossible unless you pick up the phone and make a call. And like you say, it cost money in those days.
Right. And going forward, so you bring over 50 years in the sport. What is your recommendation to new people in dog shows, in purebred dogs, whether it's Italian Greyhounds or any other breed?
I would say go to as many shows as you can and talk to people, because people can say anything they want on the internet and you don't know really what's behind that. Talk to people. Some people, after you start talking to them, you may want to go to somebody else instead, but you will find people who are willing to help if you want to get started in a breed. You just have to find the right people. I still think doing it in person is much better than relying on technology. You probably don't agree with me, but...
Oh, no, I totally agree with you.
Good.
I totally agree with you. I'm old enough to remember the days when my family had a party line phone, so there you go.
Oh, so did we.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so any other last words of advice particularly related to Italian Greyhounds?
I would say, just before you called, I got an email from this gal who actually came here to look at the dog. She had lost her pet IG a few weeks earlier, and she wanted another one. And she came here just to get an IG fix. And I got an email from her asking me about a puppy that was offered to her. And it's from somebody I've never heard of before. And that's all I can tell her is I would suggest you go with a breeder that's known to the IG community. Because you can get into trouble when nobody knows who the breeders are.
And you're the past president of the National Club, so you have a pretty good idea who's out there and who's not, right?
Well, I've been involved with the National Club. I've written the IG column for the AKC Gazette, which nobody reads anymore because it's only online now, but I've written that column for the last 40 years, and people do contact me because of that once in a while. And my suggestion is if anybody, especially if they want to show the dog, really, really make sure you know who you're getting it from. Even if you're looking for a pet, you're better off to get it from a show breeder who doesn't want to breed sick dogs because it costs enough money as it is to be showing. And they're always going to have one or two in each litter that aren't show quality that would go as pets, than to get it from somebody they have no idea who it is. But I would say also make sure you know what the Italian Greyhound is like. They're not like the big Greyhounds. They're not couch potatoes. They will be a certain part of the time, but they're a very active breed. It's not a breed for somebody who, like a person in a wheelchair, for instance, who wants a dog that's going to sit in their lap for a day. This isn't it. this is not the breed for it. They need exercise and they need to get a lot of attention. If they don't get it, they'll find a way of getting it. It may not be what the owner is looking for.
I tell people that all the time. They'll find their own work and you might not enjoy it.
Yeah. They are, for instance, we had a leather sofa in our family room that was really nice, red leather sofa, and it was real leather. Well, over the years, the dogs decided it was a major chew toy, and it's now sitting out in back waiting for someone to put away.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, Lillian, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I wish you the very, very best of luck.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed this chat myself, and I'm going to have to look at that podcast a little more often.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.